Alrighty, thank you very much. Proverbs chapter 9 is where we're going to open with, and then we're going to study from chapter 1 tonight. Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to read verse number 1 as our text and subject, and then we're going to look at the text or the subject in chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 9, the Bible says this: wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Seven pillars. Wisdom has hewn out her seven pillars. Tonight I want to talk about seven pillars of wisdom. Now, let me tell you a weird statement. I don't know what the seven pillars of wisdom are. I'm going to talk about them. How about that? That'd be a typical neo-contemporary message, won't it? Talk about something you don't even know about. But let me explanify that. I have never, ever in my life heard anybody preach about the seven pillars of wisdom. I don't remember ever in all the 50-some years I've been going to church hearing a message about the seven pillars of wisdom. I looked in two commentaries today about seven pillars. I looked in two reference Bibles about seven pillars, and they're just completely ignored, like the statement's not even in there. They don't have a clue, I assume, or if they do, it must be something so insignificant it wasn't even worth putting in a commentary. When it comes to seven pillars of wisdom, I know that there are seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit listed in Isaiah chapter 11. That includes the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of might and Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Is that seven? If it's not, then whatever else, you can find it in the first couple of verses of Isaiah chapter 11. I don't know if those are the seven pillars of wisdom. It says it's a sevenfold Spirit of God is what it is. I don't know if that has anything to do with the seven pillars of wisdom or not. But I thought, okay, maybe these following verses are the seven pillars of wisdom. The first pillar is she's killed her beast. The second one is she's mingled her wine. The third one is she's furnished her table. The fourth one is she's sent forth her maidens. And the fifth one is forsake the foolish. And the sixth one is go in the way of understanding. And I couldn't find the seventh. I don't know. That must not be them. All righty. So I just browsing through Proverbs and reading along and considering this text and that text and this passage and this passage and which direction we're going to go tonight. And chapter 1, I am going to call these the seven pillars of wisdom. Alrighty. Now, you might hear or read somewhere from someone else seven other pillars of wisdom. But I haven't been able to find it anywhere. So I'm just going to take it upon myself for the sake of this message to call these seven pillars of wisdom. It may not be the seven pillars that are referred to in the mind of the Lord in chapter 9, but I don't know otherwise. So there may be seven more pillars of wisdom somewhere. But we're going to call these for the sake of a fancy title, the seven pillars of wisdom. All righty. Chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Righty? This really is the introduction, obviously, to the book of Proverbs. The book of wisdom, Again, remember our definition of wisdom is seeing things the way God sees them, looking at things from God's point of view, and seeing it the way God sees it. Understanding is then standing under what God has said, standing under what God has revealed, what God has showed you, how he sees things. You stand under that. It has to do with submission, and that's where you will get it. That's where the light comes on, when we will submit to it and stand under it. Then we understand it. All righty? Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. That's our text for this whole lesson or series of lessons about wisdom, and along with it, understanding. So you notice here, chapter 1 says that we are to know wisdom and instruction, we are to perceive the words of understanding, we are to receive the instruction of wisdom and all that, and we're to as we do, then all of that gives us subtlety and knowledge and discretion and so forth. All righty. We have already talked about where wisdom comes from. It comes from the Lord, and how we get wisdom. We studied that one last week. And so today we want to look at this. We are to know wisdom. We're to perceive it. That means to be able to sense, to have a sense of this is right. This is truth. This is the way God sees this. This is not the way God sees this. This is not God's point of view on this. This is not the way he looks at it. We need to have that perception here, that ability to perceive and sense that. We need to receive this wisdom and understanding. We need to receive it. That means to welcome it and take it in. All righty? And then as we do, it will give to us. That's part of the purpose of Proverbs, is for us to know and us to perceive and us to receive, and then to give to us subtlety and knowledge and discretion. All right, so we need to know it, perceive it, receive it, and get it as it gives to us. All right, now, seven pillars of wisdom out of this passage here. Number one, the first pillar of wisdom. By the way, a pillar, you know what a pillar is? It's something that upholds and supports. The New Testament church in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 is a pillar and ground of the truth. All righty? So when we talk about the pillars of wisdom, those columns that uphold wisdom, that wisdom is built upon and based upon and upheld by, here we go, number one is instruction. Instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. Wisdom comes from instruction. It comes as a result of instruction. Instruction. Verse number 3 says to receive the instruction of wisdom. Verse number 7 says fools despise wisdom and instruction. And verse number 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Listen to it. Get it. All righty. Notice all the references. We're not going to notice all the references. Notice many of the references in Proverbs to instruction. In chapter 4 is a very, very important one. Chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse number 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Being taught is essential to wisdom. Wisdom will be upheld by pillar number one, that is instruction. Instruction. Notice in chapter 5, verse number 12, this is describing a theoretical or hypothetical situation of somebody who almost messed up their life big time, but they didn't. But they almost did. One of the things, as they think back over what could have been, one of the things they would have said in verse number 12 is, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Remember last week when you talked about getting wisdom, we need to incline our ear to it. And somebody that just about messed up, blamed his mess up on the fact he hated instruction and he didn't tune in to those trying to instruct him. In verse 23, as a result of messing up big time, here's what would have happened if he would have. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Chapter 8, wisdom is speaking as a person, and it says in verse number 10 of chapter 8, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Verse 33 then, he says this, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. See, if a person is not teachable, they are not willing for somebody to teach them, they're not willing to learn from somebody else, then you ain't got a chance. You just flat don't have a chance. Hear instruction, be wise. To be wise, you need instruction. Instruction is pillar number one. Chapter 9, verse number 9, give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he'll increase in learning. Chapter 10, verse number 17 is a good truth here. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. You want to know if you're headed the right way? You want to know if your children are headed the right way? Can they follow instructions? If they can't, you got a better idea, got a better plan, instead of just following instructions, try to do it without instructions, think instructions stupid, not in the right way. He's in the way of life that keepeth instruction. He that refuseth reproof erreth. Chapter 12 and verse number 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. He that hateth reproof is brutish. Instruction. You notice several times that instruction is said on the one hand, compared to the other hand is reproof or rebuke. See, instruction is, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 calls it, instruction in righteousness. How to do it right. This is how it ought to be done. Ought to be done as instructed. That's right. Not following instruction, not doing it as instructed, needs reproved and rebuked. You get that connection there? Chapter 13, verse number 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not. Here it is again, rebuke. Chapter 13, verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. We're not simply talking about formal instruction in a classroom setting or in a church pulpit auditorium, church pulpit pew setting. We're talking about learning from other people, letting other people instruct you, or sometimes just learning directly from God. But learning and being instructed, being taught about everything. Chapter 15, verse number 32. He that refuses instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof, it's instruction, reproof. Keep hearing that. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding. He'll get it if he gets instruction that is corrective instruction, right? Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Chapter 19 and verse number 20. Chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. All righty. On the other hand, verse number 27, how about this one? Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. There is some instruction that will lead you wrong. There is false instruction that's contrary to the Scripture. The Bible says cease to hear that kind of instruction, which, by the way, is one of the reasons we have a Christian school. All righty. Chapter 23, verse number 12. The Bible says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Verse 23 of chapter 23, the Bible says, buy the truth. That means pay for it. pay whatever price is necessary and sell it not. Pay whatever is necessary to get the truth. Don't take anything for it. Don't sell it for anything. Buy it for any price and sell it for no price. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Pay whatever it takes. Pay the price. Buy it. And Isaiah 55 says, the kind we really need is the kind that comes without money. There's other prices to pay besides money to get instruction and wisdom and truth. All righty? So, instruction is pillar number one. If you love it, and you hear it, and you receive it, and wisdom is going to be upheld. You're going to have wisdom, and you're going to uphold wisdom, and you're going to retain and maintain wisdom with pillar of instruction. Don't ever let your heart get unteachable where I don't want to hear, I don't want to be taught, I don't want anybody to tell me, I don't want to learn from anybody else. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I see it. This is what I think, and this is what I'm going to do. Don't mess me with facts. Don't mess me with ideas. Just don't bother me. I'm not listening. I'm not watching. I'm not going to follow any examples. I'm not going to listen to any lessons. I'm not going to take any advice. You can't tell me anything. Watch out. I know you won't ever say those words, but watch out for that attitude and that practice and those habits, because it'll destroy you, the Bible said in Proverbs. You can read all those references again. So pillar number one is instruction. Pillar number two, back to chapter one again, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. We're talking about the pillars of wisdom, and along with it, understanding that you need to stand under. All righty. To receive the instruction of wisdom, and the next thing is justice. 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 You know what justice is? Justice is simply that which is right. When we hear about some crime and we say we want justice done, what we mean and what the statement means is we want this thing to be remedied right. We want right to be done. You know, when those young men bombed that race there in Boston, and people are crying for justice, what we want is for right to be done. All righty? And other crimes too. But we want right to be done not only in the case of crimes. We want right to be done to prevent crimes. We want right to be done in our own life, in our marriage, in our children, in our money, in our homes, in our church, in our jobs. We want right to be done. Justice. That's only mentioned three times, the word justice. You can find just several times. You can track that one down on your own. But justice is found in chapter 8 and verse number 15, spoken by wisdom as a person, by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. Chapter 8, verse 15. In chapter 21 and verse number 3, the Bible says to do justice. And judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. What God wants people to do, more than he wants them to take an ox or a calf or a goat or a lamb and slit its throat and chop it in pieces and barbecue that thing, it's just for people to do right. To obey is better than sacrifice, is how he said it in 1 Samuel chapter number 15 to Saul. Those words were from Samuel. The Lord is much more pleased with somebody just doing justice, just doing right. You know, sometimes we use that term in reference to our ability to do some task or something. Well, I don't think I can do justice to the job. You know, we're pleading for bus workers, and some people may say, well, I just don't think I can do justice to the job. What that means is I don't think I can do it right. Well, one of the pillars of wisdom is justice. And so one of the things that upholds and maintains and retains wisdom is the effort to get it right, is the desire to to get it right, and the intention to get it right, and the willingness to be instructed to get it right. Justice. All righty. If you're not willing to get it right, then wisdom's going to start caving in. It's going to start sagging there where that pillar is missing. All righty. Wisdom number three in chapter 1 and verse number 3 is judgment. Justice and judgment. Judgment, again, as we've mentioned many times, is the ability to make decisions. When we talk about God's judgment, it's decisions that God has made. Sometimes God has made decisions that some people need to be chastened or punished, and so some bad things happen, and we call that the judgment of God. But sometimes God thinks somebody needs to be blessed and rewarded and encouraged. That, too, is the judgment of God. God judged that that's what this person needs. God judged that this is what would help that person. And so that's what judgment is. We always want our young people to use good judgment. And we want ourselves to always use good judgment. That's what judgment is, the ability to make wise and prudent decisions. And so that is a pillar of wisdom. If you see things the way God sees things, wisdom, and then you do stupid things, and you know good and well that's, you're going to be knocking a pillar out just like Samson did, and your house is going to come crashing down on you, because one of the things that upholds wisdom, seeing things the way God sees things, is then doing it, all right? Making some wise choices. And many people, by the way, if you would get on the internet and go and see how people in general define wisdom, often you will see a definition along the lines of this, that wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you have, to use what you know correctly. That is called judgment. Using judgment, good judgment. Proverbs has some things to say about that in chapter 2. And verse number 9, the Bible says, then shalt thou understand, this is when you get wisdom, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path, the Bible says. In chapter 8 again, and verse number 20, wisdom says this about itself, I lead in the way of righteousness. And he says, I lead in the midst of the paths of judgment. Wisdom leads us to good decisions. And so we need to exercise those good decisions, make those good decisions, and carry out those good decisions. Chapter 13, verse number 23 says, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. In other words, it's destroyed because they don't have any good sense. They make bad decisions. Even though there's a lot of availability of food, so much of it is destroyed because of bad judgment, a lack or a want of judgment. All righty. Again, chapter 21, verse number 3, we read that one under justice. Same verse. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. God finds it very acceptable for us to use some good sense, to use good judgment. You've heard me say, and the young people have heard me say over and over and over, Dr. Bill Rice III has a saying, we hear it every summer, God gave you a brain and a Bible, and he expects you to use both. That's good advice. That's very good advice. Judgment. Verse number 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. They're not using their brain. They're not using good sense and making wise decisions when they go stealing, and it's going to destroy them. See, one of the pillars that upholds wisdom is making good choices, making good decisions. Verse number, where are we at? Verse number 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment. It's a joy to a person that's saved and right to make good choices. It's a joy to them to make good decisions. All righty. Chapter 28, verse number 5, the Bible says, evil men understand not judgment. They don't get this decision-making stuff. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. We talked about that verse last week. Judgment is pillar number 3. Pillar number 4 upholds wisdom, maintains it, and retains it, is found in verse number 3 of chapter 1, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment. And number 4 then is equity. 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 That too is found in chapter 2, verse number 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Official Webster's 1828 definition of equity. Number 1, justice. Right. In practice, equity is the impartial distribution of judges, of justice, or the doing that to another which the laws of God and man and reason give him right. It's a treating of a person according to justice and reason. And it quotes a couple of scriptures. The Lord shall judge a people with equity from Psalm 98, and then it also quotes a similar statement in Isaiah chapter number 11. Dictionary definition number 2 of equity is justice, impartiality. Impartiality. Equity has to do with the fact that the wisdom is upheld by equity in the sense that it is impartial. It is even or level. That's what it means. In other words, the pillar of wisdom, known as equity, means the truth is the truth is the truth. And right is right is right is right. And you don't have double standards, and you don't have inconsistent standards. You don't have one standard for other people and another standard for yourself. You don't have one standard for other people's kids and another standard for your own kids. You don't have something that is a belief. You know this is true. You know this is right if it's what you want to do. But if occasion arises when you don't want to do that, well, then you don't. See, for example, we would say we believe you ought always do what God wants you to do. We would agree with the statement, the will of God settles everything. We would say that, but listen, equity means that's what I believe, that's the truth, that's right, that's how God sees it, therefore I ought to live by that, and I ought to live by that all the time. And you know what? That means even if the will of God is not necessarily what I want to do, I ought to live by it anyway. I ought to live by it anyway. If it's going to inconvenience me, I'm going to have to miss a party. I got a party going on Sunday night. I'm going to have to miss the party because wisdom says I ought to go to church. Equity says you ought to go to church. If that's what you believe, then you ought to apply that evenly, levelly, impartially. If that's the truth, then that's the truth. It's not just the truth when you want it to be, and then when you don't want it to be, it's not the truth. No, it's the truth all the time. And it's the truth for everybody, and it's the truth for me too. Equity. Equity. Let's go on to pillar number, whatever's next, 5. Equity is pillar number 4. If you're not going to apply it impartially and consistently, your wisdom is going to get to sagging, and probably your house of wisdom is going to be a little wobbly, and it's probably eventually going to weaken these other pillars too, and they're going to come down. So you got to have these 7 pillars of wisdom. Number 5 is in verse number 4 of chapter 1, to give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety has a bad reputation, because that's what we read about Satan in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And Paul's great fear for the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 was that they'd be beguiled by the devil through his subtlety. But subtlety has the bad reputation because the devil uses that, and the devil is very subtle. But the reason subtlety has a bad reputation is because the devil uses it for bad things. What the word means is nice, fine, delicate. It means acute and piercing. It means sly, artful, cunning, crafty, insinuating. It means planned by art. I mean, it's been very artful. It means refined, fine, acute. The best definition I've ever heard of it is a delicate skillfulness. A delicate skillfulness. Now, the devil uses that delicate skillfulness for evil purposes, obviously. But that delicate skillfulness can also be used for obviously good purposes and wise purposes. This has to do with being tactful and appropriate and delicately skillful. The image that comes to my mind when I think of delicately skillful is a surgeon with a scalpel that is doing some very delicate, fine surgery, namely operating on your brain or something like that, or working with nerves, or working on your back, your spine, and all those gajillions of nerves and everything. He's got to be so delicate and so skillful and so careful. He's not like a logger with a chainsaw. He's not even like a butcher with a carving knife. He's like an artist with that fine little blade that just do, and even today with lasers that have to be so precise. Subtlety. One of the things that wisdom and instruction gives to young people even is subtlety, is the ability to be very careful, to be very delicate. See, here's the thing about working with people. You ever notice people are very delicate? Some people are tough as nails one day and delicate as eggshells the next day. You know, chapter 13, I believe it is, or maybe it's chapter 18, but Proverbs talks about wounded spirits quite often and how people can bear just about anything, but when they get a wounded spirit, that's tough to deal with. And normally what wounds their spirit is not the price of gasoline, not the price of groceries, not the color of the neighbor's house. It's a person. 999,000 times out of a million, it's a person that wounds a person's spirit. Subtlety is that pillar of wisdom that allows you to be very careful with what you say and how you say it, and when you say it, and to whom you say it. And then we could talk for the rest of this fall probably about the Proverbs and all of those scores of Proverbs in here about our words and our speaking. We have to be so deliberate and so delicate and so careful with our words. And equity, or not equity, but subtlety, is pillar number 5. we can have it all come crashing down on us with just a few bad choices when it comes to speaking to people. Chapter 16 and verse number 20 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and he that trusteth in the Lord, safe is he." All righty? Handle a matter wisely usually means we need this pillar of subtlety. Subtlety. Number six, very quickly, we got to hurry up. We still got pie to eat. Verse number four, to give to the young man knowledge. Knowledge. You know, our wisdom is indeed the ability to use knowledge correctly. But in order to see things the way God sees things, we gotta know what God sees. And we have to see things the way God wants us to see them and know what God wants us to know. Proverbs talks a lot about the knowledge of God. And again, as we mentioned earlier, the knowledge of God simply is not knowledge about God, it's knowledge from God. It's knowledge that God has that he wants to give to us, and he wants us to get from him, knowledge. Verse number seven, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the first thing we need to know, is to know to fear God. Verse number 22, in this discourse here about people rejecting wisdom's offer of it, verse number 22, wisdom says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning? And how long a fool's going to hate knowledge?" Verse number 29, when it explains why they couldn't get wisdom when they needed it, because they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. You have to have knowledge. That is pillar number six. That upholds, that maintains, that supports wisdom, knowing this is the truth, knowing this is right, this is the fact, this is what God says, this is how God sees it, this is what God has showed me. That's how I see it, because that's what God showed me, that's how he sees it. That's wisdom. You got to know that. You got to know that. Chapter 2, verse number 3. If thou criest after knowledge, we talked about that one last week, verse number 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Not just simply the knowledge about God, but the knowledge from God. Verse number 6, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse number 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and so forth. And there's a whole bunch of other references about knowledge, and I hope that you will make the effort yourself to just pursue them through Proverbs and see how important it is, and see the drastic difference between having it and not having it. We need that kind of heart. That's pillar number 6. And pillar number 7, then the last one, is also in verse number 4 of chapter 1. That would be discretion, to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. Discretion is simply the ability to be discreet. It is prudence, or knowledge and prudence. It is discernment, which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. It is nice discernment and judgment directed by circumspection. Circumspection simply means you're paying attention to everything around you, and primarily regarding one's own conduct. All righty? And so that is discretion. That's pillar number 7. It is being careful. Chapter 2, verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Chapter 3, verse number 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Chapter 5 is how to protect your marriage. Way number 1 is, my son, attend to my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse 2 of chapter 5, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Chapter 11 and verse number 22 is an interesting statement. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. All righty? Putting a fancy gold jewel in a pig nose is just like a really pretty lady that is not discreet, has no discretion. So, discretion is very obviously important. It's pillar number 7, chapter 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It's his glory to pass over a transgression. Be very discreet, be very careful, be very prudent, be very discerning. And so these 7 things, I believe, are indeed 7 pillars of wisdom. Whether they're the 7 things that the Holy Spirit had in mind in chapter 9 and verse number 1, I don't know, but they certainly are, number 1, 7 things. And number 2, they certainly do uphold wisdom. They support it, they uphold it, they maintain it, they retain it. You need all of these things, instruction, or you will, your wisdom will fade away. You need justice. If you're not going to do what is right, you're not going to have wisdom. Judgment is the ability to make good, wise decisions. If you don't use that, then your wisdom is going to disappear. Equity, if you're not consistent about it, then that's not wisdom, and it's going to fail you. Subtlety, it means be very, very careful with it. that is necessary to maintain upholding wisdom. Knowledge is really the instruction part, and the knowledge part are probably the 2 main pillars, and then all these others provide the necessary support for the whole span of wisdom. All right, and then discretion is being very discreet, as in very discerning. I'll be able to see some things. It has to do with prudence, which has to do with being able to see on down the road a little bit. It has to do with being able to see if I do this, here's what's going to happen. And if this happens, then the effect of that's going to be this. Cause and effect is something that people need to be very discerning about. If I do this, this is going to be step number 1, and this is where it's going to lead to eventually. If I take this step, then that's going to lead to this step, and that's going to lead to this step, and this is where it's going to take me. A prudent man looketh well to his going, the Bible says, and prudence is the idea here of discretion. Be very careful. That will uphold wisdom. All righty. Wisdom hath hewn out her 7 pillars. There's 7 things that uphold wisdom. Lord willing, we'll have another lesson on wisdom next week. Let's stand. We'll pray and sing, and have my wife go down and put the pie on the table while we're singing. All righty. So hope you all can join us, and we will just have a good time. Just eat your pie and have a good time of fellowship. Relax. All righty. If you're not done by school time, we'll find a class and stick you in a class. All right. Might even let you teach one. I don't know. Dear Lord, thank you for wisdom from the Bible. I pray that you would help us, dear God, to retain, maintain, uphold wisdom that you do give to us with these 7 pillars, Lord. May we stay much in Proverbs and much in the entire Bible. And God, may we be standing under what you show us. Lord, may we not be resisting it or dragging our feet on it or fighting against it even. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to get wisdom and get understanding. Dismiss us with grace. Thank you, Lord, for the refreshments we're about to have. I pray you strengthen it with that and bless our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. After we sing, you're dismissed. By the way, don't forget to pray for Franz Kovacs. They're out in Wyoming on vacation. They'll be coming back, I think, Monday, but be sure and pray for them. All right, God bless you.
Let's turn to song number 99. Isn't he wonderful? 99.